Genesis chapter 41, continuing our study here in the book of Genesis. And I'm excited about the message tonight, and just love studying the Word of God and what God shows, and this is pretty exciting to me. Genesis chapter 41, we left off in verse number 45. Genesis 41, verse number 45, and pay close attention. I don't want you to miss anything. All right, so I'm going to cover some stuff here pretty quick, and so we'll follow along. But again, appreciate, and so good to have so many with us tonight, and visitors, and excited to see walk in Corby and Valerie this morning. Yeah. So that was really cool. So good to see them, and they are heading out of town Thursday, right? And yeah, so going to a wedding down south, and so. First stopped in here, and so awesome to see them. So, and love them much. So, but Genesis chapter number 41 and verse number 45, where we'll start reading. And we're talking about Joseph, and talked about all the points under Joseph. I'm not going to rehash those for time's sake tonight, but we're on number 7 under Joseph, and we're on Joseph's bride. In chapter 41, verse number 45, follow along, and it says this, "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathereth up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you, Lord, for the privilege of studying your word. I pray that, Lord, you would open our eyes, that we'd behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God, thank you again. Lord, this book is so rich, and I thank you for it. I pray you'd help me tonight. I know what you showed me, and help me to be able to share that tonight. I pray that, Lord, it would be an encouragement to others as it is to me. And Father, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Joseph here, again, I believe the whole life of Joseph is a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it continues to be so here in this passage that we read. Joseph, where we left off, has been made second in command of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And here in this passage that we read, he is given a bride. And he is, again, a great picture of the Lord in that he was the beloved son. He was rejected by his own. He was condemned by rulers. But he comes forth as a deliverer and now is seated at the right hand of the king. Isn't that awesome? Amen. All right, now I should repeat that because you weren't near as excited as you should be, all right? But he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was the beloved son, rejected by his own, condemned by rulers, but comes forth as the deliverer, is now seated at the right hand of the kings. Amen. Amen. And he's given a Gentile bride. This is awesome, isn't it? I stopped as I began to study this, and I began to think about the other Gentile brides in the Old Testament. And I believe all of them are a picture of the Lord's churches. And you say, how do you mean that? Now, don't worry, I'm not getting nothing weird tonight, all right? Some of you are already nervous, all right? But the brides, I believe, are a picture of the Lord's churches, especially these Gentile brides. Because if you're not familiar with it, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the heavenly bridegroom, and I believe we are to be the bride of Christ. And so you see that in these pictures here. Now, the only exception I would make is Sarah. I believe that Sarah was a picture of Israel with Abraham and the relationship with Abraham. and how that she would bring forth fruit only in the latter days, just as Israel, they will one day turn to God. But there's that relationship that's there. But the other brides, and I could throw them at you, and we'll talk about them real quick. This is the exciting part I'm telling you about. So, ready? Are you excited about it? All right. I picked first Eve. I mean, she's the first wife, right? And she wasn't a Jew. All right. So I picked Eve, and then there's Rebecca, and then there's Rachel, and then there's Ruth, and then we have Asenath here. And I believe they all have a picture. Stay with me on this, all right? I believe Eve is a picture of the formation of the church. In the fact that this, where did Eve come from? Adam, right? And Adam in his sleep, all right, from him was taken, who would become a rib, of course, who was formed into becoming Eve, to be Adam's bride. This new creature was taken from Adam's sacrifice to share in his life, to be the object of his love. Amen? Oh, come on. That's pretty neat. All right, yeah, right? All right. So there's Eve, which I believe is a picture of formation of the church. Then there's Rebecca. I believe Rebecca is a picture of the faith of the Lord's churches. In the fact that she chose to go and to give herself to one whom she had never seen. And only in her travels and from the servant did she hear all about the one that one day would be her bridegroom. And her faith grew as she journeyed in meeting him. That's a picture, I believe, of us. And the faith that we have, because we've not yet met the Lord Jesus Christ, but our faith grows as we journey through this life, and the more the Holy Spirit, that great servant, teaches us and tells us about him, and we learn more about him, the more we love him and are excited to see him one day. So she chose to go on this journey having never met him, but she made that choice of faith and learned more until the day that they were united, the faith of the bride. I believe that Rachel is a picture of the favor of the church and the fact that Jacob loved Rachel. He adored Rachel. And my friend, if you don't know it, the Lord adores you. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. He only created us because he wants to have a relationship with us. And his attention is towards us, his favor, his time, his ear is bent towards us because he loves us. Then we have Ruth, who I believe is a great picture of the forsaking that's been done by the church. Ruth had to choose to leave her old life, lose her home, leave her old family, leave her own old gods, and go to a people and to a family that is a new family, that is a new place. And praise God, we too, if you're saved today and you're following the Lord, you've left behind a whole lot behind you. This world is no longer our home. We have, just as Ruth was, have been redeemed. She was redeemed by Boaz. We have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price that was necessary. Praise God, he gives us handfuls of purpose as we live through this life, but we choose to forsake all and follow him because he's a great Savior and a great Lord. And then we had Asenath, who I believe is a picture of the future of the church. Because you are of a woman taken from obscurity who is made to now sit and enjoy the privilege of being married to the one who sits on the right hand of the king. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I believe these Gentile brides teach us something. I think that's fascinating. I had a thrill over that this week. I wish you'd join me in it, all right? But it was awesome, right? But let's talk about Joseph's bride real quick in chapter 41, verses 45 to 52. I want you to see, first of all, her favored place. And as I preach this, all right, I ask you to consider in looking this, not just at Asenath, but I believe she is, in the scriptures, being a Gentile bride married to Joseph, I believe she is a picture of the great privilege that we have and will enjoy for all of eternity. I want you to consider her favored place. In the first few verses, in verses 45, we start reading here that Pharaoh calls Joseph's name Zaphnath-Panath. Joseph is given a place of honor. He is given a place of honor, and she is to share in this with him. Now, I say her favored place because it was a great honor to be married to the second in command, if you will, of all of Egypt. You see, he is highly exalted. He You say, you're talking about Asenath? No, I'm talking about Joseph. And if you will, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is highly exalted. He had been rejected. He had been cast away. He had been, for all intents and purposes, put away for good. But he rises from that, and now he's seated at the right hand of the king. Amen. What an honor, amen? I mean, you see there in verse number 40, Pharaoh says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." He took his ring off of him, and he placed it on Joseph's hand, and the chain about his neck, and he made him to ride, in verse 43, in the second chariot which he had, and he cried, "Bow the knee." I mean, what a place and position was given here to Joseph. He is highly exalted. He is highly extolled. Verse number 45, he gives him this name. Now, everywhere he goes, he at first has everyone to bow the knee. And listen to me. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But he's given a name here, Zaphnath-Panath. Interesting enough, it's awesome to study the Bible. To the Egyptians, the name Zaphnath-Panath, which Pharaoh gave him, means Savior of the world. Glory. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Pharaoh, I'm sure, intended that to the fact that he knew what Joseph was about to do and the commission that he had given him and the famine coming and all that was to be done under his authority. But God knows what he's doing too. It was a picture. The name means Savior of the world. To the Hebrews, the name Zaphnath-Panath means Revealer of Secrets. Revealer of Secrets. To his brethren, he would be the revealer of those secrets that he had shared with them and the dreams and such. What he would be to his bride, I believe, would be a revealer of secrets, because she would learn all about the same God that we serve today from Joseph. To a lost world, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen. And then to us who are saved, he's a revealer of secrets. So what do you mean by that? You just keep growing and learning and learning and learning. The more you walk with him and talk with him, the more he reveals himself to us. He is a great God. And should grow sweeter and sweeter every day. You see, is her favored place in that he was highly exalted and highly extolled. But then I want you to see number three, that she is highly entitled. She is made his bride. In verse number 45, a wife is given to him named Asenath. She is allowed to share in all of this. Now, he rules, but she is right there with him. Asenath was given this favored place to be the bride of he who sits at the right hand of the king. That ought to make you a little bit excited. The fact is this is our favored place too. If you want some New Testament on that, keep your finger right there. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 1. And in verse number 12, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12. I'll start reading verse number 11. Ephesians 1, I'll start reading verse number 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Chapter 2, verse number 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." That's some precious verses right there. We get to go to heaven, and we get to inherit all that is there. We are there, and I'm not taking away from who God is and who the Lord is, but we get to share in that and enjoy the riches of his grace and his kindness. In chapter 3 in Ephesians, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And to make all men see," 3:9, "what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Let me tell you something. It is a privilege what the Lord has for us one day. It is a privilege and a joy to share in that one day, to have this favored place, to be chosen and placed in Christ, to be our partaker. Again, I'm not taking away from anything, but the Lord intends it to be our partaker of his glory, to share in all that heaven is. Praise the Lord for that. But you have her here that she is highly entitled. You see that her favored place, but then I want you to consider this. Now, again, I hope you catch this. It is such a privilege and an honor to one day be there with God in eternity. The one who sits up on the throne and to share in all this. I know we can't really fully understand it probably till we get there. But oh, what a morning it will be to be there with him. You see her favored place, but then I want you to see in verse number 45, her, back in Genesis, her forgotten past. This is important. Her forgotten past. All right, so what do you mean, her past? What all do we know about her past? Nothing. Nothing, save her name. Which is interesting. And I'm going to pause and say this because this ought to thrill the heart of everyone. Our sins and our past have all been forgiven. We all have quite the track record, don't we? Praise God, he cast it as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says he cast it into the sea of his forgetfulness, and by no mistake, in Book of Revelation, when John begins to describe heaven, the first thing he says is there's no more sea. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. If he cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and when we get to heaven, there's not even a sea anymore. Yeah. Praise God for that, amen? That ought to make you want to shout, amen? So our past is gone. There's nothing there save her name. Her name, Asenath, means this: one who belongs to the earth. He was dedicated to the God of the earth. That's who she once belonged to. By the way, we all have that same testimony. Before salvation, we were all, as the Lord said, of our father, the devil at that time. We were all created from this earth. The dust of the ground, man was created and life was breathed into him. But praise God, we may be of this earth, but that's not my family now. And Asenath may have been at one time from the earth, but now she's been placed in a brand new family. And she is here, listen to me, she is not introduced. Catch this, please, church. She is not introduced to be the focal point of the story. She is introduced as being an honored gift to the one who sits at the right hand of the king. You see, in her place and who she was to the Egyptians, she would be a prize and an honor being given to Joseph. And that's what we are to the Lord. Now, I don't think of myself as much at all. And I don't think you do either. But God has given to his son a prize called you. Now, I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. But to the Lord, you and I mean everything. And sometimes we just take that for granted and we throw that around and we don't think about it like we should. But she was given, and we're not here to be the focal point. No one, when we get to heaven, no one's going to be standing in line clapping for us and cheering for us and saying, "Boy, you are awesome." we're all going to join in one song, Praise the Lamb. Amen. And we'll all be glorifying Him. But understand this, that God, just as Pharaoh took Asenath and said, here's the best I can give you, God, and again, I'm not, we're a mess, but I'm just telling you how the Lord cherishes us. We're a prize to Him. And praise the Lord for that. You say, well, what about our past? What about all of our temple worship and all this? I can't find anything about it. You can study this book. You're not going to find anything about it. And praise God, I got a whole lot of stuff that I don't want to talk about. When we get to heaven, we're not going to talk about any of it. I'm just going to be rejoicing with the Lord and that I can be there with Him. And so you see her forgotten past. And let me give you one more thing, her faithful part. She's mentioned one more time, verses 50 to 52, because she, as the bride, had the privilege, look at me, of adding to the family. Amen? Oh, come on, you ought to be getting, yeah, right? I mean, that's what we're here for. Amen? We are here to be a church, to take our commission and to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sang this morning, I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. And we have the privilege of bringing more into this family as a church. And we should take that seriously. And you see here, she gives birth to two. To two. She had the privilege of adding to the family. And by the way, I could go here a long time. I give you guys in training something to study and preach on, right? But listen, she's going to give birth and add to the family. And then, when that's done, a time of Jacob's troubles is going to follow. And a famine is then going to come, which is going to drive Jacob's family back to Joseph. Come on, right? Follow me? What are we doing right now? We as a church are to be winning people to Christ, adding to the family, amen? And when that day, and there's coming a day, when that responsibility, we're done with that. Because the Lord's going to call us to glory. And when we're called to glory, there's going to begin a time of Jacob's trouble, which is going to force his people. They will end up, sadly, 2/3 of Israel will be destroyed. But those who remain and that remnant that has remained will look up to the skies one day and say, behold our God. And God will say, behold my people. And what a glorious day that's going to be. But that time is going to be used to draw His people back. Can you see it in Genesis? Are you with me, right? Can you see the pictures that are there? But right now, we have this responsibility, and she is going to bring forth. In verse 50, it says, and Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil. This world gets rough sometimes, don't it? Go through heartaches and hurts and sorrows, betrayals, and sometimes the road gets pretty heavy. But someday, we'll leave it all behind. Isn't that awesome? And in the meantime, verse 52, the name of the second, called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. We're going to put it all behind, but for now, let's do as much as we can to bring forth fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because someday there's going to be great joy when the heavenly bridegroom and the bride are united for all of eternity. And we'll put this world behind us and look around at the fruit that is there, and we'll all sing one song, to God be the glory, great things He hath done.